Cool. All right. So next, we're going to be talking about syscall tracing and retransition support.
Good afternoon. Okay, close afternoon to everybody. The talk is the status of the desiderata for system call tracing and virtualization support. It's co-authored by me, Renzo Tavoli, University of Bologna, Virtual Square, and Davide Berardi from Virtual Square too. Okay, why we have decided to present this paper, this presentation? Because tracing is very useful and it's used for many purposes. The main, I think everybody uses on a daily basis S-trace, for example, which is based on tracing methods, GDB. But tracing can be used also for virtualization. Let us remember Usenet Linux, for example. Usenet Linux is able to create a Linux kernel as a process, and you can run it as if it were a virtual machine. We have a project, Virtual Square. If you want to visit the wiki of this process, you can download the QR code of my tie or wiki.virtualsquare.org. Virtual Square has three flag projects. One is Virtual Distributed Internet, the second is the Internet Threat, and the third is VOS. VOS is the idea to create an operating system entirely in user space, able to implement what we name multiple layer operating system, which is not a layered operating system. If you studied the kernel by the educational kernel by Dijkstra, that's layered. It means that each layer is using a different API, a different language. Instead, the idea is to create a multi-layer operating system. So modules that are using the same language, the language of system calls, both as the lower layer and the upper layer. What's an operating system? There are many definitions. You can see it from many perspectives. For example, you can say that it's the entity able to give an answer to implement the system calls. In a modern operating system, a process can be done by itself just a numerical operation. ALU operation can access the memory given by the kernel. For everything else, it needs to call to send a request to the kernel. System call can be hijacked. We can, if we have the kernel speaking this language here represented as this pattern, you can have your process running on this layer, and you can see what the kernel is giving. You can add a layer, and your process can speak the same language, but can see different things. For example, you can mount a file system at user level. You can use a different networking stack at user level. This is the role of UOS. Please. Okay, this picture shows how UOS works. If a thread issues a system call request, the system call goes to the kernel, but there is some way to trace the system call. Actually, we use ptrace and reroute the request to the hypervisor. Actually, for a performance point of view, we don't have just one thread of the hypervisor, but each thread in the user environment has a thread of the hypervisor that is virtualizing the thread. We named those guardian angels, the guardian angels of processes. And then it asks to the module implementing the virtualization, can be a fuse module. Using VOS, you can use fuse executable, fuse file system in user space, and do exactly what you do with the fuse implementation in the kernel entirely at user level. So you could exclude the fuse support from the kernel, and fuse would continue to work. Then the module replies, and the result returns to the thread. Actually, we have an implementation of VOS named UMView based on Btrace, but we are working to decide which is the best implementation. We are not sure, and so we have started a review, a survey of all the support in the kernel to trace syscalls. And I am going to show you all these ways. This means that syscall tracing is very useful, given that many different implementations have been added. At the same point, it seems that there is no silver bullet. There is not a complete solution. There are, actually, we have moved on the axis of features. VOS gives you the power to do several stuff, to mount file system, to regardless or taking into second consideration security and performance. Let me talk about security. And let me split the word security in two parts. Security and safety. Security when there is a bad guy who is trying to do something bad. But there is also safety. Safety means that we can perform, we can do mistakes. For example, any time I try to configure a file disk image for a virtual machine, I'm writing into a file which is mine. But in order to have a very simple support, I became root, mount the file system, but all the times I'm afraid if I type SDA instead of SDB, I can zap entirely my system. So this is safety. So you can, if you do the same things at the user level, you have no risk of this kind of safety. And performance is the third axis. We are not the only one seeking for system called tracing. Fake root is based on this trick. Wine, divisor, and so on. Okay. I think I have already presented this slide. Would you want to?
Oh, okay. I can try. I think you can hear me. Okay, so let's talk about security. We can try to describe a program that get hijacked, the system call get hijacked. So a program that open etc passwd. So for instance, it prints the list of users and then get redirected to etc host. So this program is secure when it executed inside some kind of wrapper that hijack the system call, hijack the request, I mean, and move that to ETCOs. There are some cases in which they will, we will see that, like purelibc, which is based on, which can be based on LD preload, in which if you do something like directly calling the system call, for instance, in assembly, in this case, you can circumvent the sandbox. You can escape this sandbox and so on, look at the real ETC password D. So this is the problem of security. For instance, it's difficult to ensure that a program gets to the real real sandbox design we done.
Yep. For example, so you're trying to open ETC pass WD, and instead the virtualization, quote, quote, opens ETC host name, is the problem that we have used as an example. And at the very last line of the slides, there is a GitHub repo in which you can see this functionality implemented in using all the system call tracing methods we are introducing now. Okay? So even during the presentation, if you want to download and try, please do it so we can, because trying to comment pages of code on the slides is useless. Instead, you can try by yourself if you want to see the method, the methods.
So there is another problem, which is speed. We will call that, because is the three axes are features, speed, and security. The problem of speed, in this case of hypervisor-based virtualization, is that it's low. Like Renzo was saying, that one program that wants to open ATC password D, for instance, and get hijacked to another file, gets to the kernel, and then another process gets waked up, and this project comes back to the kernel, and then the control is returned to the main application. So it's slow, because for one single system call, you get into the kernel basically two times, and then the return. So it's really slow, because you increment the times you're getting the context switches and this kind of changes. So we basically done a benchmark for every method. So in this case is the benchmark, which is like 1 second and something for the cut ETC of name. So you get just the file, and this is the cases. And we have five techniques mainly. The first one is ptrace. Ptrace is the thing that your debugger does. So when you are just looking at the system call, for instance, in this case, we virtualizing cut ETC password D, and we hijacking it to an hypervisor. And in this case, you see that the time is the real concern. You see that it's like 7 seconds and so on. So it's really slow. And if you're virtualizing a real application, I don't know, Chrome or something like this, it gets real slow. So in this case, because you pass in the kernel another additional time, but it gets to some pros, like extremely well tested, is easy to implement. So it comes with pros and cons. It has some difficulty in multi-threading also. Because if you do some ptrace tracing, you block sometimes on you block sometimes to get the application of the hijacking of some system calls. So that's, for instance, the case for select and poll. There are some problems in which you need to have multi-threading, and it's difficult to implement. There are also some problems with the information of the process. So when you're getting the system call, you want to get the information on the system call, like which are the 6 registers I'm using, the 9 registers I'm using. So you need to get the register and implement a dispatcher for your system call. And choose where you're going with your request. To do so, there are some way to do that. So like Ptrace Peak User, in which you can get all the registers and one register by time, and then it's really slow, it's really architecture dependent. And to overcome to this problem, there is some request you can ask to Ptrace, like Ptrace get syscall info, which you get the system call information like registers and so on in an architecturally independent way, something like this. But there is no Ptrace set syscall info. So if you want to hijack the system call, you can basically directly change the register, change the values you have in that. So for instance, you have the open and you want to alter the file you open with it. You need to have something to write the system call values. So you have this low interface, which is peek and poke, it's a terminology of Ptrace. But if you have Ptrace set syscall info, it will be a lot faster. Fortunately, this is currently discussed in the kernel mailing list. And yep, that's basically one to that.
Ptrace is a very ancient support. It was in system in the sixth version, so in around the middle 70s. And it's during the time different supports have been added, peak user, poke user, and then get regs. Now Ptrace get syscall info at the main point, which is architecture independent. If you use Ptrace get syscall info, you have not to remember which register. In which register you have the number of the system calling, which other the arguments. Okay. Now they are going to there is a discussion to add Ptrace set syscall info. Okay. Then the other point on Ptrace is that for one system call, you don't need just four hops, two counter switch, but instead four. Because Ptrace creates an event at the moment of the system call and when the kernel responds. So you have two events. Think to S-trace. The first event is to read the arguments. And then the second event is to read the return value of the R number. Okay.
Another technique is based on second. So Ptrace get a little bit of speed in this under this scenario, because you avoid the second return. So you have that, in this case, you have second to process it. And yep, it gets a little bit of speed. So in this case, like six seconds. But it has the same problem as Ptrace. So like architecture dependent, difficulty to multithread, and so on. So that's another technique, maybe the newest one, is seccomp you notify. Basically, it's different because in Ptrace you modify the traced process, and that the traced process execute a new system call, execute a different system call, and so on. In this case, with seccomp you notify, you're as a hypervisor, you're executing the system call and returning the result. So it's a different view on how you alter the system call flow. So for instance, in this case, you have that the hypervisor has the trace process here, and the hypervisor there doesn't, the hypervisor doesn't change the trace process system call. So the trace process execute open etc passwd, and then the hypervisor open the real ATC hosts and execute the system call and get the result back. So it's directly the hypervisor that does that.
Very quickly, it's different, the event signal involved.
details are used to wait the state change of a process. Instead, here, there is a file descriptor, so you can use the pulse selector and other stuff to see if there is an error.
There is also a problem, not a problem, a speed up which we can get, is that SecComp just use BPF, not PPF, ABPF in this case. And so in this case, we need to trace, for instance, all the file descriptor-based system calls. So for instance, every read, every write. In the case we have ABPF, we can create maps with a BPF. So we can basically create a map of what we want to trace in terms of file descriptor. So there are some cases in which you mix real file descriptor and virtual file descriptor, because the open maybe get traced, or some open doesn't get traced, so pass directly to the kernel. But in this case, we need to trace all the read requests. Otherwise, if we can have ABPF maps, we can basically decide which read gets into the kernel and which read gets into the hypervisor. This is pure overhead, obviously, the two in red, so the system wake up the hypervisor for the virtual file, for the real file descriptor, not the virtual one. And also there are some other two solutions which are not based on hypervisors, so you don't need to have another process. This is called, in our terminology, self-virtualization. So for instance, one of these is PRCTL. PRCTL, this is a tricky way to do hijacking of system calls, because it's mainly designed for an emulation, like Wine, like Limbo, so you use that to emulate system calls which are not the one of your operating system. And it's extremely arch dependent, and it's difficult, really difficult, if you want to read the readme of the repo that is explaining that. It's really difficult to pass the system call in that. The last one I want to present to you maybe is the simple one, because maybe you use that in another form, because it's based on deep reload and can be deep reloaded. It's that glibc basically is a two-faced library that does the system calls and provides some wrapper for the system calls. Like the open is not the real open, it's like a wrapper for the open, then get to the system call and to the real operating system. And with that, you can basically hijack the layer at level of libraries in which you request the open to the library. With that, you can basically get a native syscall interface in which you can do the system call. And the pro of that is that obviously it's a library function, doesn't pass to the kernel two times. So you have the speed, which is basically the same of cat in this case. Not, you don't have the switch.
So we use that if you are loading several layers, and we load it using Vuein Smart. So it's like you were inserting some module in the kernel. So these modules are trusted. So we can, instead of having kernel tracing at each layer, here inside the virtualization program, the hypervisor, we use self-virtualization in order to gain speed.
So, in conclusion, there are no silver bullets. We saw that there are no silver bullets, and there are different techniques to hijack system calls, which are correctly implemented in the Linux system, the kernel and the user space. There are some desiderata which are not really adopted at this time, and we can create a layer to virtualize system call, which is flexible, is more flexible than container, because container just emulates some part of the system. In this case, we emulate all the interface facing with the system. I can do a demo if you want. So yeah, I can show you, if it works, the repository. So for instance, let's do the ptrace hijacking. I compiled my the software. So for instance, we can say ptrace virt cat etc. OS release, And obviously, OS release is not eject. It is the same as the picture. So it ejects only ATC passvd request. But if I say cat ATC passvd, in this case, it's get virtualized and get virtualized to hostname. So you can see that it's not printing the real ATC passvd. If I can show you that there is no tricks in that. The real passvd is there, but if you passing through the hypervisor, so you get your system call eject, the system call get eject to the request of ATC hostname. So it's always the same. The only one I want to show you which is different is the VOS method. So you can just start umview bash. As you can see from the prompt, I am inside, it's a big prompt, but I am inside a virtual machine based on ptrace in this case. And so I can say vu insmod no passvd in this case and cat etc passvd. If there is no demo effect, I am just hijacking the process that get executed inside the virtual machine. So it's basically, it sounds like a container in this case, but it's not. It's just for a single system call. In this case, a single request to a system call. So thank you for your attention. I don't know if Renzo, you want to add something.
If you use system call tracing in your projects and not happy for the actual support, please contact us that we fight together.
Any questions? All right. Thanks.